My name is Wayne Balta, and I work as IBM's Vice President of Corporate Environmental Affairs and Product Safety.
For how long has IBM had a position in the company looking at issues of sustainability and other environmental issues?
Sure. So in this position, I have responsibility for overseeing all of IBM's own intersections with matters of the environment and sustainability. This position has existed at IBM since at least 1990, meaning an explicit corporate vice president's role with this responsibility. That's 20 years now. The subject, of course, at IBM goes back longer than that.
In creating this position, what were some of the motivations? What were some of the triggers that led IBM to think this is some area that, as a company, we need to focus on these issues?
Well, IBM began its determined focus on environmental leadership as early as 1971. And there's some background to how IBM got started now 40 years ago. And for many years, it worked really, really well. And then around the late 80s, some people may recall that there were a couple of events which raised the importance of environmental management even higher than they already were. One was the unfortunate accident in Bhopal, India. One was the regrettable accident of an oil spill in Valdez, Alaska. And at that time, environmental awareness raised to a point where people who were operating large organizations, large companies like IBM, realized this is now an enterprise-level matter that requires a degree of executive oversight on a consistent global basis. So those were some of the catalysts that caused IBM, after having watched it for 20 years, to specifically carve out an executive position to oversee all of it.
So not to hip-hop through time, but 1971, was it just the environmental movement or Earth Day or something like that? But what was it that led them to make that move at that point?
Yeah, no, good background. The first Earth Day was occurring at that time. In the United States, the government in the U.S. was setting up and creating the Environmental Protection Agency. That's when it was born and created. And so that was an era of increased environmental consciousness for those two reasons. And IBM was fortunate to have had at that time an iconic chairman and CEO, Tom Watson Jr. He was the son of the company's founder. And he was very astute in terms of world trade and in terms of being a good corporate citizen. And he recognized well in that era how important matters of environment and sustainability were going to be toward what we today call corporate responsibility. And so he set out back in those late 60s, early 70s, several direct thoughts and directives from the chairman and CEO that enabled IBM at that time to begin its own management systems on this subject.
So you were telling us you had about 15 years of involvement in these issues at IBM. What are some of the issues that have changed over the time? I mean, right now, climate change seems to be one of the key drivers of this, but how have the subjects and topics that the focus of your job changed?
Sure. Let me answer that by speaking about it in two ways. One would be how policy and legislative and regulatory focus has changed, and then the second would be how the topics have evolved. So first, in the beginning, so to speak, and around the area of the 70s, if you think about governmental policy toward environment, a lot of it was aimed at controlling the output of industrial processes. In other words, it was how can we best control the amount of emissions going to the air, the releases going into water, and pollution of the land. As the years went by in the late 80s, early 90s, policymakers thought, all right, we've put in place some requirements that deal with controlling pollution and waste. Now that we've got it controlled, how can we prevent it from happening in the first place? So the focus changed from one of control toward prevention. And that era was called pollution prevention. And a lot of policies around the world were geared towards saying, we're not just going to control the consequences of industrial processes. We want to find ways to prevent there from existing problems in the first place. So people began to focus on limiting or changing or legislating the materials that you can use in the first place to create a product or deliver a service. Okay. that era has run well for a long time. And one example of the consequence of that in the European Union would be the Restriction of Hazardous Substances Directive, which calls for not using certain materials in electronics manufacturing. That's a case of saying, let's not put it in the first place so you don't have anything you have to control at the end. Today, it has shifted from control towards prevention towards innovation. And this is extremely exciting because we are capitalizing on what we learn by controlling and what we've learned by preventing to innovating. Okay, and by innovating, that means integrating technical expertise with business acumen to ask ourselves, okay, now looking forward, as we define what we think sustainable world and sustainable business processes look like, how can we innovate everyday processes that we take for granted and redefine them in ways that are more sustainable for the planet and which work for business because they deliver cost efficiency, competitiveness, and allow you to satisfy your clients?
One of the themes that comes out almost every day is this issue of we live in a very interconnected world, complex systems. Stephen Leonard, CEO of IBM UK and Ireland, says, you know, no one owns the end-to-end. Even in a company as big as IBM, 407,000 employees, I mean, you are already dealing with these issues. How do you build, even in a single organization, deal with all of those interconnected bits? And I mean, you own the end-to-end, so it makes it a little bit easier. But how do you deal with all those complex systems?
Yeah, it's a challenge. And, you know, this idea of innovation is very promising for making it less challenging. The way we do it at IBM today, we take a very systemic perspective on this. Okay, the key word there being systemic. And our objective is to be recognized as an environmental leader based on our actual performance and results, not our rhetoric. So if we want to achieve results that would be regarded as consistent with leadership, we need to operate such a large organization with so many people and presences in so many countries systemically. And we're looking for some consistency around the world. So our approach has been to think about the business processes we perform and to get them addressed within a single global environmental management system, a global environmental management system that allows us to first understand how our own business intersects with environmental issues. Okay, why does the things that IBM does for a living matter vis-a-vis the environment? Okay, we ask ourselves those questions first, and we continuously re-ask them as things change. And once we understand why we're relevant, or why we have an impact, or an opportunity, then we say, okay, which of those matter the most, and where do we stand today? What goals should we set for ourselves to get to a better place? And then within a large organization, how do we define roles, responsibility, and accountability to execute? That's the way in which we try to address a very complex subject in a systemic way.
You've outlined how IBM does it. And again, going back to one of the themes that we've had through all the 6 days of the summit is moving from debate and discussion to action. Looking at the summit and some of the discussions that we've had here, what do you either hope or know will be the key action points that come out of this, things that actually get done? Because I think everybody, whether it's the business community or people at large who are concerned about these issues, do feel that, okay, now we've got to do something. What's that something we're going to do, and how realistic is that it's going to get done?
So, of course, START covers a broad diversity of topics around environment and sustainability. But I do think that what many of those topics will enjoy in common as a consequence of this gathering is the following. This gathering has clearly caused diverse people from different types of organizations, be it business, government, the non-governmental community, and academia, at least, to gather around topics of common interest. And if you think about the topics, they span different industry sectors. These are not topics that are particular to, say, just retail or just manufacturing or just transport. And they're global. So those three things, people from diverse perspectives, okay, topics that are broad, and issues that matter in a global context. Okay, people have come together to discuss in that those three things. Now, just bringing them together is going to cause people to say, okay, I know like-minded professionals with whom I can collaborate, and I have a better understanding of why this just doesn't only make sense for the environment and sustainability, but also why this matters to business from a business process point of view. And when you find the opportunity to act that is backed up by benefit to both the environment and to business, in answer to your question, that's when I believe you'll find action emerging from the dialogue.
One thing that's interesting is that often I think probably the public debates happen on maybe an activist level or a governmental level. Mm-hmm. And to be frank and honest, mm-hmm. business is not seen as part of this discussion, even though it impacts businesses. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's curious to me is how is business going to have that voice in that discussion in a positive way? Because, I mean, you hear here, and if you walk away from the summit, you believe that all businesses are trying to be green and doing this. But obviously, if that were the case, then maybe we'd be a little bit further down the road. So how is business going to engage with that and also change maybe a perception that it's not necessarily acting in a way that's consistent with sustainability?
Mm-hmm. I think it's realistic to observe over time, and I think going forward, that there will always be leaders and others who follow. In business, frankly, it's the way of the world for all of us in whatever we do or encounter. And so I believe that as leaders act in the business community to make their businesses either more efficient, more cost competitive, or make themselves become the preferred partner or supplier to others, whether you are in a consumer-facing business or whether you are in a business-to-business circumstance. As people do that, and as they enjoy the business benefit from that, they, of course, would be the leaders. The followers will take note, and they will work hard to catch up. The strategic question for them will be how much time they have and can they recover quickly enough to enjoy the same success going forward as those leaders will enjoy. Okay, and there are many topical examples of how this may come to be even more relevant in the years to come. Take traceability in supply chains. We're gathered today on the day we're discussing this with each other to focus on supply chains. Well, the whole issue of traceability has come front and center for business. Think about what we've seen. Lead in the paint on children's toys, melamine in milk, mad cow in beef, contaminants in pharmaceuticals, conflict minerals in the electronics and the jewelry supply chains. Okay. How many more events does one need to reach the conclusion, I need to understand my supply chain a little bit better? Okay, point taken. Now, when people act on that and they say, hey, you know what, there exists the technology and the business know-how to get a little better handle on this, the leaders will move forward and do that. And when they do that, they will address the issues of societal concern. But by virtue of having put in place the business processes to better understand this, they are going to become more lean and more efficient. That means they're going to be able to be a lower cost producer. So they're going to get themselves in a situation where they can deliver a product or a service to their clients that is better vis-a-vis sustainability, which itself has a benefit, because who wants to buy something that's not sustainable? And second, they're going to be doing it with a lower cost structure. From a business point of view, that's pretty darn good. And if you're not doing that, you're going to have to scratch your head and say, when do I catch up and do I have a chance to catch up?